I must say that one of my strongest reactions this afternoon is to feel how fortunate we've all been to have spent our lives doing physics over the last 60 years since the last war, when so much has been happening, and I feel very strongly about that today. In fact, the 60 years amounts to the time that I have known France. I first met him immediately after the end of the Second World War, when I had just returned to Cape Town University after serving in the Royal Navy as a radar officer. The background to that will be obvious later. And the prof there gave me a temporary lectureship until I was coming back to Cambridge in the September of 1946. So presumably because of my radar experience, he gave me the job of giving a course of lectures on electromagnetic theory to the MSc physics students. And at that time, the University of Cape Town had really a very enlightened attitude, in that the fourth year engineering students, the electrical engineering students, were able to come and take courses that were being given to the physics MSc students. And France was one of those. He started his life, of course, as an engineer, and I can remember that very soon after we'd started these lectures, and clearly France probably knew more about electromagnetic theory than I did, and Mike Pence was there, and many of you will remember Mike Pence. And surprising to me anyhow, they were working on the design, the theory and design of linear accelerators, presumably on the base of the developments of the magnetron and the 10 centimeter wavelength work during the last war. And I was surprised because that was very much a classified subject. And I didn't, and France and South Africa generally were clearly very much cut off from the scientific developments. I then returned in 1946 and lost touch with France, but I believe he came to England on a Metropolitan Vicar's scholarship, which was awarded to the top engineering students of their year at Cape Town University, one for light electrical, one for heavy electrical. And John Thresher, who many of you will know, also came over on one of these. And then, next met France in about 1952 on board a ship going back to South Africa. By that time, I had married and had a baby son, and France had married Marie. And I remember very clearly meeting on board that ship. And then France must have gone there and then come back. And I stayed in South Africa for a couple more years, and then came back to England and met France in about 1954 or 55. The department at Cape Town University was a very, very good one at the time. There was a man called C.B.O. Moore, with whom I did some research work, who was an Australian, who went back to Australia after the war, and who was a colleague of Massey's here. And that gave me an input into university college. The professor was R.W. James, who was again a colleague of Bragg. And so, and a lot of people did some very good X-ray work, of course, as well. The next time we met was when, towards the end of about 1957, I suppose, I and CERN had started the cyclotron group. Cyclotron was working, and I proposed two experiments to be done at CERN. One which was just a simple continuation of the work I was doing on the Harwell cyclotron, and the other was a Pion experiment, which was similar to one that I think France must have been thinking about here at University College. Anyhow, I can remember very clearly coming to UCL and talking to Harry Massey very frequently about this. And it's interesting, actually, that I can remember very clearly a paper prepared by CERN as to how one should do experiments at CERN. And it really was talking about doing experiments as a truck team. You took your apparatus there, did your experiments, then went away again. But we really ignored that completely right from the start. And France came and stayed at CERN. And in fact, however, I never got round to working with CERN because I got the short straw at Harwell when Jerry Pickervance moved over to build Nimrod, and I moved over to complete the very ambitious 600 MeV proton linear accelerator that frankly Metropolitan Vickers in their decline had made a mess of, and so I dropped out of the experiment which was being done at CERN, but then Roger Hanna, who was also at Harwell at the time and who's here today, actually took over that work and worked very closely with Roger, with France. Massey, of course, was a splendid person to work with, how he got the money at that time for France, and I don't know who else was there, but for France to go and stay for a couple of years at CERN, I just don't know. But it of course worked very, very well, and we did share quite a bit of running time together. We, you know, at CERN, as one always does. So, and then of course we come to the Nimrod years, and UCL and France were always a very strong. Strong user and supporter of the Rutherford Laboratory, and then the last time that I saw France was at a meeting of the court at Brunel, when just shortly after France had been fitted with his pig's heart valve, which he was very proud of at the time. But and sadly, I never visited him at his Yorkshire home, and so during our retirements, we never met again, and as always one feels that one really should have put more effort into trying to do so, but sadly that's life. But nevertheless, it's wonderful to see everybody here to mark the splendid life of Franz Hayman. Thank you very much.